Hello, I'm Jason Konigsberg, and welcome to PanandSlam.com, and today we are going to be looking at the best performances from Daniel Day-Lewis, legendary screen actor, arguably the best actor of his generation, Daniel Day-Lewis. Now, he announced, during the filming of his last film, he announced that he was going to be retiring from the acting profession while filming Phantom Thread, and that this would be Phantom Thread out in theaters right now, his final movie role before he would settle into retirement. Phantom Thread is currently spreading across theaters in North America, and it's gaining a lot of traction during this year's Oscar race. So now is the perfect time to reflect and look back on an enigmatic career from one of the greatest method actors of his generation, often referred to as the British De Niro. Daniel Day-Lewis has proven to be much more selective than his American counterpart. De Niro seems to make two, three, four movies a year almost at times. Daniel Day-Lewis very seldom throughout his entire career has had more than one film released in one calendar year. But he's, you know, known for taking years off between his roles. After his first Oscar win for Best Actor in 1989's My Left Foot, there was a three-year gap until his next movie, which was Last of the Mohicans in 1992. That was unheard of at the time, especially during a period where Daniel Day-Lewis was still considered a relative newcomer to the Academy and to the film community in Hollywood that embraced him. But that three-year sabbatical between My Left Foot and Last of the Mohicans was a sign of things to come, and eventually everyone started to realize that Daniel Day-Lewis got so wrapped up in his roles that when he really needed a long time to prepare, and often even longer to decompress once filming had concluded, because he gets into the role and if there's no cell phones or no electricity or anything like that, he lives without a phone, without a computer, without electricity. I mean, he really lives the role to every absolute detail, wearing clothes that they would have worn, all sorts of the eating, what his characters would have eaten. And he starred in a lot of historical dramas and period pieces, so it's probably tough, and it probably took a lot out of Daniel Day-Lewis. So, let's go on, and here are the top 10 Daniel Day-Lewis performances from a motion picture. Number 10, The Boxer from 1997. Now, this is not a great movie by any means, but it certainly contains a great physical and emotional performance from Daniel Day-Lewis. This was his third collaboration with filmmaker Jim Sheridan, and it was their weakest film together. You'll read about the other two further down. I'll discuss them later on in this audio clip. Jim Sheridan was a terrific director, and he did a lot to help Daniel Day-Lewis's career, and Daniel Day-Lewis likewise obviously probably helped his. All their films together deal with working-class people living in Ireland and their values and struggles to maintain a normal life amid politically volatile situations and amid poverty. Daniel Day-Lewis in The Boxer plays Danny Flynn, a Belfast native who was imprisoned for his involvement with the Irish Republican Army. After serving 14 years in jail, he returns home and attempts to put his life back together. He reopens his neighborhood gym, reconnects with a long-lost love, played by Emily Watson, and tries his hardest to go straight and stay out of any IRA affiliations. The movie only partially works, but nobody can discredit Daniel Day-Lewis and the physical transformation he made to get his body into shape to convincingly play a boxer. Allegedly, he took months of training, and by the time he was ready to film, the professional boxers and trainers that helped him get into shape and trained him to be a boxer said that Daniel Day-Lewis easily could have won a few professional bouts. Released in late December 1997, The Boxer drowned amid the Titanic juggernaut, as so many other pictures did. It did not capture the hearts of audiences as the James Cameron epic, or catch on as much as smaller films of that time like Good Will Hunting and As Good As It Gets did with audiences and Oscar voters. Once the dust had settled on The Boxer, it had to settle as being a runner-up for the big awards of 1997, and it was not a big, memorable picture, and it's not often one that people look to as one of the great Daniel Day-Lewis performances, and that's why it's number 10. So number 9, let's move down. Number 9, from 1993, Martin Scorsese's The Age of Innocence. 1993 would prove to be an anomaly in the career of Daniel Day-Lewis. during his time as an A-list leading man. It was the only time he starred in two movies as the lead role that were released in the same calendar year. The first one was this, Martin Scorsese's Age of Innocence, based on Edith Wharton's novel, released in the early fall of 1993, only a few months before In the Name of the Father, which you'll hear me talk about a little later on in this. Age of Innocence is a lavish romance about a love triangle set in 1870s New York City. Day-Lewis plays a wealthy lawyer, Newland Archer, engaged to a young socialite played by Winona Ryder. But when his fiancée's beautiful cousin, Michelle Pfeiffer, comes to visit, the situation becomes more complicated and an unexpected romance blooms. Rarely discussed in the pantheon of great Scorsese films or the finer works of Daniel Day-Lewis, The Age of Innocence is a slow and sumptuous journey back in time to a New York not usually seen on screen. The costumes are some of the finest of any period piece, and they won a well-deserved Academy Award. The set design, framing, and the cinematography and the performances are all outstanding and as beautiful as anyone could ask for. The story itself may not be as compelling, but the matchup of Daniel Day-Lewis and Martin Scorsese proved to make even the most dawdling scenes in this film feel interesting. This film succeeds at sucking you into its world with the lush details and intricate performances. Winona Ryder was easily the weakest link of the lead performances, yet somehow she was the only actor that managed to get an Oscar nomination for her role. Miss Ryder was a hot commodity at the time in the early 90s, but no matter how well you dressed her up, she failed to convince that she was not a Generation Xer. I had the same problem with her and her performance along with Keanu Reeves in Bram Stoker's Dracula, the Francis Ford Coppola movie. Daniel Day-Lewis, on the other hand, was stellar, as he always is, that if it were not for his other film from 1993, In the Name of Father, where he surpassed his performance in this, he should have earned an Academy Award nomination, and he would for In the Name of the Father, and I'll get to that later. So, number 8, Last of the Mohicans. Daniel Day-Lewis's first movie after his first Best Actor Academy Award for My Left Foot could not have been any more different than when audiences last saw him as a man stricken by illness and bound to a wheelchair. After a 3-year hiatus, Daniel Day-Lewis returned in another physical performance, albeit the complete opposite from the physical performance he last endured with My Left Foot. In Michael Mann's 1992 film adaptation of James Fenimore Cooper's classic novel, The Last of the Mohicans, Day-Lewis plays Hawkeye, the half-Native American, half-white member of a dying tribe surviving in the wilderness of upstate New York during the backdrop of the French and Indian War. Hawkeye, along with his father and brother, try to live in peace, but they get swept up into the war, and they find themselves morally bound to protect a British colonel's daughter from the French and a more vicious Native American tribe led by the brutal Magua, played by Wes Studi in one of his signature and most villainous roles. Daniel Day-Lewis plays an action hero for the ages, and the film is part action movie, part sumptuous romance, and his character Hawkeye falls in love with the older daughter, played by Madeline Stowe. Daniel Day-Lewis trained long and hard for this role, learning how to fight and hunt with authentic weapons from the time period, hunting and skinning animals and only eating what he could hunt, surviving off the land as his character would have. He lived his role and changed his image from a frail Irish actor to bulking up and being an all-American action hero. His chameleon-like ability was on full display, and he convinced audiences that he could be a romantic lead in an action, drama, and romance, since now women around the world started to view him more as a sex symbol. The Last of the Mohicans is a unique action film, beloved by men for its visceral and historically accurate depictions of combat, and adored by women for its passionate romance. Daniel Day-Lewis was the key to making both of those elements work as sublimely as they do in Last of the Mohicans. Number 7, The Unbearable Lightness of Being from 1988. One of his first big roles was The Unbearable Lightness of Being. He plays Tomas, a successful surgeon with a very active sex life who meets and falls for a woman who wants monogamy. Then the Soviet invasion comes to Czechoslovakia, and disrupts their lives forever. Based on the acclaimed novel by Milan Kundera and directed by Philip Kaufman, The Unbearable Lightness of Being remains the most underrated and probably his most underappreciated film that I'm going to mention on this list. Clocking in at nearly 3 hours, it is a lot to sit through, but he sells the performance of a very unlikable man torn between two beautiful women and another interesting love triangle, more interesting than Age of Innocence, I think. And the two beautiful women are played by Juliette Binoche and Lena Olin. The entire cast at the time was relatively unknown, 1988, but they would all go on to have very successful careers in American movies. It illustrates life under the Iron Curtain as it invades our characters' personal and professional lives during the 1968 Prague Spring of social liberalization, forever altering their artistic and intellectual values of that country. The Unbearable Lightness of Being is a gorgeous film with erotic moments and social commentary about how politics can destroy lives and tear lovers apart. No matter how hard Daniel Day-Lewis's lady killer doctor tries to stay apolitical, his life was eventually drowning in communist rhetoric and restrictions. This is one of the rare films that Daniel Day-Lewis was from Daniel Day-Lewis that was financially unsuccessful in the United States. It did not make its budget back and was largely ignored by audiences and award shows. Eventually, Unbearable Lightness of Being found its audience and is still able to be discovered by movie buffs for years to come. It's a terrific film. You really should see it if you get a chance. Number six, the one I mentioned before, that's his newest one and his last one, currently out in theaters, Phantom Thread. Currently playing in cinemas now, Phantom Thread is a smart, sophisticated Hitchcockian tale of love and obsession based on the London post-World War II fashion industry. Day-Lewis plays Reynolds Woodcock, a successful fashion designer that has his routine lifestyle disrupted by his affection for a younger, strong-willed woman, played terrifically by newcomer Vicky Creeps. Phantom Thread is his first film in 5 years since winning his third Oscar for Lincoln, and his second film for director Paul Thomas Anderson. I'll mention the first one a little bit further down on this list. It is an emotional picture about control and manipulation in relationships where we do so much harm to the ones we love the most. So many moments to behold, his performance anchors the film as he weaves his way through being dominant and vulnerable. In this film, more than almost any other, you can see his hard research for the character displayed on screen with very subtle, small moments. This movie has extravagant sets and a keen attention to every exquisite detail. The costumes are splendid, as they should be considering the subject matter. While we are visually hypnotized into this film, the outstanding score by Johnny Greenwood entrances the audience into the film even more. Phantom Thread may be the year's most beautiful picture of 2017, both visually and acoustically. The time period shows through on screen as a symphony of images and sounds that reflects a beautiful marriage of the finest caliber of talent. Paul Thomas Anderson, the writer-director, and Daniel Day-Lewis are both at the top of their game. If Phantom Thread is indeed Daniel Day-Lewis's final film, he went out with a great one. Number five, Lincoln, what will be the penultimate film of Daniel Day-Lewis's career, is also the one that earned him his third Best Actor Academy Award and was the first time an actor won an Oscar for a Steven Spielberg film, which is hard to believe. Spielberg loved working with Daniel Day-Lewis and vice versa. They both have said just the nicest things about each other. This is another one of the many period pieces he starred in where he had to get into character and researched his role to portray the 16th President of the United States as accurately as possible. He obviously succeeded, winning the Oscar and practically every other major acting award they could bestow upon him. Lincoln is a phenomenal picture about the president and his staff attempting to abolish slavery and pass the 13th Amendment, a historical drama of the finest caliber with one of the greatest actors of all time front and center as the man trying to preserve and save the Union during the final days of the Civil War. Lincoln is a powerful film and earned 12 Academy Award nominations, winning only two, production design, and of course, Best Actor for Daniel Day-Lewis. Saying that he's the best part of the film is accurate, but also an understatement to the testament of Spielberg's incredible accomplishment, creating a glorious movie on a wide canvas and making such a personal story involving Lincoln and his relationships with his sons, his wife, played elegantly by Sally Field, his cabinet members, and even his political rivals. All the other performances in this movie are terrific. That seems to be the lone negative effect of Daniel Day-Lewis being in your movie. He's such a powerhouse of an actor that it detracts from many of the other great elements that make up the films he stars in. Number four, Gangs of New York from 2002. His second collaboration with master filmmaker Martin Scorsese was also the first time audiences saw Daniel Day-Lewis on screen in 5 years since The Boxer, which underwhelmed critics, audiences, and underperformed at the box office. Gangs of New York was sort of a big test to see if Daniel Day-Lewis still had the intensity and the drive that he exhumed during the late 80s and throughout the 90s. Well, once Gangs of New York was finally released after being held in post-production turmoil for over a year, everyone knew that Daniel Day-Lewis still had it in him to deliver raw, emotional, and powerful performances. His turn as Bill the Butcher Cutting in Gangs of New York overshadowed the big box office names, Leonardo DiCaprio and Cameron Diaz, that also had above the title credit with him. Day-Lewis created one of the most magnetic screen villains of recent years with his commanding performance. So many great moments with him, big and small, from his unforgettable introduction with the fight at the beginning, to when he taps on his glass eye with a knife, to waking up a sleeping DiCaprio with an American flag draped over his shoulders. Day-Lewis won many acting awards for this role, and it was considered an upset on Oscar night when he lost Best Actor to Adrian Brody for The Pianist, although few can ever argue that Brody was undeserving of his trophy for that film. As he has shown, The Last of the Mohicans, and would later illustrate with There Will Be Blood and Lincoln, Daniel Day-Lewis encapsulated the best and worst of American values in these huge roles. That is amazing considering he is an English actor with Irish roots. Phantom Thread is the only film on this list where Daniel Day-Lewis actually plays an Englishman. The rest of his characters here are American, Irish, and one role as a Czech physician. Phenomenal, considering how convincing he is in all of these roles. Daniel Day-Lewis embodies the strengths and weaknesses, the nobility and villainy of these men representing their culture. It is amazing he is not a native of these lands that the directors did not choose to cast someone else. There are plenty of talented American and Irish actors that could have played these other roles instead of Daniel Day-Lewis, but then these films would have likely turned out completely different. Gangs of New York earned 10 Oscar nominations, but went home empty-handed on the big night. There was a backlash against that film, with people taking issue with aspects of the narrative, script being weak, and the other actors, other than Daniel Day-Lewis, not giving great performances. A lot of compromises had to be made between director Scorsese and now disgraced big shot producer Harvey Weinstein. In the end, the movie still turned out to be a powerful film, capturing an era of New York City seldom seen in movies. Much like their other collaboration, The Age of Innocence, The Gangs of New York was the first big hit for Scorsese in over a decade at the box office, and was a sign of things to come, cranking out more hits with DiCaprio, who would become his De Niro, his muse for the new millennium. It arguably started a renaissance for Daniel Day-Lewis as well. Getting him back into the game and some of the best roles of his career would come after this film. Back in 2002, when this was released, he had only one Academy Award. Gangs of New York established Daniel Day-Lewis, his brand, significantly, gave him his first Oscar nomination in almost a decade, and led towards him winning Academy Awards in There Will Be Blood and Lincoln. This is a rare, special film that does not get the respect it truly deserves in the careers of everyone involved, but everyone who sees it agrees that Daniel Day-Lewis gives a towering performance, and it ranks high among the best roles of his distinguished career. Now let's move on to number three. Number three, In the Name of the Father, previously mentioned in my Greatest Endings article, and mentioned already as, you know, the second film that Daniel Day-Lewis was the leading role in that was released in 1993. And it was his second collaboration with director Jim Sheridan, reuniting them after Daniel Day-Lewis took home his first Best Actor Academy Award for My Left Foot. Once again, in the name of the Father, in this film, it focuses on the true story of a working-class Irish family, but is much more political. It is based on the real-life experience of Jerry Conlon, who was coerced into confessing to an IRA bombing that he did not do. He was simply with his friends in the wrong place at the wrong time. Furthermore, the corrupt British police in Belfast, Northern Ireland, imprisoned his father, Giuseppe Conlon, for conspiracy for the same crime. It chronicles his struggle to fight for his freedom with an English lawyer who was the only one that seemed to be on their side. The film is based on Jerry Conlon's autobiographical book, Proven Innocent, and is a huge indictment against the British political system that has caused so much harm and tragedy to the Irish, especially in Northern Ireland. Daniel Day-Lewis once again gives an outstanding and emotional performance. He grows up in a span of over 2 hours from a never-do-well, carefree young man to a political prisoner fighting for injustice and fighting to clear his name and his father's name. The moment when he takes apart an audio tape and wraps himself in the thin magnetic strip is indelible. In the Name of the Father was the second Daniel Day-Lewis movie, as I said before, released in 1993, and what a great year for movies it was. He was nominated for Best Actor up against Liam Neeson for Schindler's List, and they would both lose to Tom Hanks for Philadelphia. It's really hard to pick against any of these performances. I would have given a slight edge to Liam Neeson, who shockingly has not earned an Academy Award nomination since Schindler's List. The ending of this film does make you want to stand up and shout and cheer. It's an incredible true story about overcoming injustice and the law, and it works because you're seeing the journey through Jerry Conlon's eyes, as he played by Daniel Day-Lewis. Special recognition should go to the late, great Pete Postlethwaite as his father, who was wrongfully imprisoned. Daniel Day-Lewis stated that Pete Postlethwaite was one of his best friends and one of the finest actors he ever worked with. Postlethwaite was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for In the Name of the Father, and he lost to Tommy Lee Jones for The Fugitive. Once again, 1993 was a very strong year for movies indeed. By the end of this journey, you'll want to pump your fist and cheer as the final verdict is given in the court. This is a triumphant film and without a doubt one of the finest roles of the legendary actor's career. Moving on. Number two, There Will Be Blood, a masterwork of cinematography, set design, and featuring another outstanding performance from Daniel Day-Lewis as fictitious oil tycoon Daniel Plainview, who won his second Best Actor Oscar for this movie back in 2007. This is a brilliant allegory of the American greed and a sly indictment of the Bush administration on going to war because of the nation's reliance on oil. Once again, Day-Lewis is as magnetic and commanding as ever. Even when the script veers towards chaos and all-out insanity at some parts, he makes it believable and delivers arguably his best performance. Much like Lincoln, this film will be unfairly dismissed as the work of a terrific actor and not a great film, which it truly is. There Will Be Blood is possibly the finest film from director Paul Thomas Anderson, and that is saying a lot. He made Boogie Nights, Magnolia, The Master. The first 14 minutes of this film play like a silent film with so much happening and zero dialogue. Then the story develops and the character he plays goes from so many different phases as the more oil he discovers creates a greed and a competitive drive, and nothing can hinder him. Plainview isolates himself from everyone to conquer and reap the oil beneath their feet. It is another emotional performance, showy at times with the milkshake scene, subtle at other times with his embrace with his son after not seeing him for a long time, but it always feels appropriate. There's not a single frame in this movie that should be altered. There Will Be Blood is as good as movies can get, dealing with themes of greed, family values, religion, disabilities, and mental illness, all as the seeds for those issues were being planted in the early 1900s. There Will Be Blood is sort of saying there's going to be problems that are going to come from all this, these events that are happening right now at the turn of the century. They have all evolved into the America we are today, and we are not better or worse for it. It's just an American story, and once again, hard to believe, an American story played so brilliantly by an Englishman. And my number one movie, the best film of the great Daniel Day-Lewis's storied career, My Left Foot from 1989. I kept mentioning My Left Foot throughout this audio clip and throughout this article, and now I finally get to talk about it in detail. Often regarded as the first great Daniel Day-Lewis performance, this is the one that made him revered as one of the greatest actors of his era, and deservedly so. My Left Foot tells the true story of Christy Brown, a man born with cerebral palsy, who teaches himself to write, type, draw, and paint with his one controllable limb, his left foot. He was from a large working-class family and grew up in poverty in Ireland. Once again, this is directed by Jim Sheridan, as I mentioned before, with little to no options or signs of hope. Daniel Day-Lewis as Christy Brown in My Left Foot, one could argue, is not only his best performance, but quite possibly the best example of acting in motion picture history. It is a tour de force that few actors can ever accomplish, and even Daniel Day-Lewis, with all his accolades of acclaim and awards, he's never really topped this film. This marked the first time he worked with Jim Sheridan, and it is by far their finest collaboration. Miramax bought the American distribution rights to this film, outbidding all the other big studios for $3 million, which was a lot of money at the time, just to distribute it. And after screenings for critics and festivals in 1989, they slowly rolled it out to North American theaters in the spring of 1990 and February and March of 1990, where it eventually caught on by word of mouth, and with Oscar voters and audiences, it became a small independent hit. My Left Foot was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Screenplay, and would win 2 for Best Actor, Daniel Day-Lewis, which was an upset at the time, over Tom Cruise for Born on the 4th of July, and Brenda Fricker was a surprise win for Best Supporting Actress, over Hollywood A-list names such as Angelica Houston and Julia Roberts. So it won 2 acting awards. They both deserved their wins. She played his long-suffering mother, and the only person throughout the first part of his life that did not dismiss her son as just a vegetable and a dummy, but a man with real thoughts, feelings, intelligence, and capabilities. Daniel Day-Lewis researched his role in great detail, working with the real people with cerebral palsy, working with the real Christy Brown, and studying cerebral palsy patients to get every ounce of detail accurate in his performance. Making this film even more of an accomplishment was how Day-Lewis completely transformed himself physically for his next role as the tough action hero in Last of the Mohicans. Granted, he had 3 years to prepare for it, but it's still, his dedication to his work was on full display in this film and in his next film. And the Academy made the right call by giving Vin, a relatively unknown actor, their highest honor. My Left Foot is a love story and an emotional biopic with humor and tragedy laced throughout almost every scene. This is a performance that has been studied and will continue to be cherished for decades to come. I know I left out some Daniel Day-Lewis films on here, but that's my top 10. My Left Foot absolutely should be his number one. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this, and check out my other articles about Daniel Day-Lewis and other films from 2017 and the past. And I am Jason Konigsberg, and I'm going to keep panning and slamming movies for you with no signs of slowing down. Thank you, take care, and have a great day. Bye.